you are free.
Hello! This is The Way Phase 4, and I'm your host, Steve Lascalzo. This is The Way Phase 4 is the name of the podcast because this is the way Phase 4 gets talked about. Today, we're going over the fourth episode of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, streaming now on Disney+. There will be spoilers. For this episode, absolutely, but any content that Marvel Studios has already released is also fair game for discussion as it applies to the future of the Marvel multiverse. If you're not caught up to everything up to and including the episode first available on April 9th, 2021, you may want to come back later and listen. You have been warned. If you want to join in the discussion, this is the way you do it. Send us email. Email to thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com. Interact on Twitter at thewayphase4 or visit Facebook at facebook.com/thewayphase4. Remember, this will be more fun for all of us if you join in the discussion.
You sure about this?
This episode, titled The Whole World is Watching, is said to be about 54 minutes long, but from opening shot to the start of credits, it's only about 45 minutes of showtime, and the description in Disney Plus says John Walker loses patience with Sam and Bucky as they learn more about Carly Morgenthau. The director, once again, Kerry Scoglin, and the writer, listed as Derek Kolstad, who wrote the last episode as well, and remember, he's the man who wrote the John Wick series of movies. Where did we leave off last week? Well, John Walker's starting to get frustrated, his leads aren't panning out. Sam and Bucky seem to meet a dead end after visiting Zemo in prison, except he breaks out, and he escapes with the help of Sam and Bucky. Zemo suggests they visit Madripoor and risk entanglement with the Power Broker to find out who is making the Super Soldier Serum that the Flag Smashers seem to have. They get in trouble on their own and out of it thanks to the help of Sharon Carter. She's a fugitive now who has made a life for herself in the underbelly of Hightown in Madripoor. Her contacts lead them to Dr. Nagel's lab, who Baron Zemo ends up killing in cold blood. The lab is destroyed, and Zemo gets closer to his goal of eliminating super soldiers. Meanwhile, Carly stoops to a new low, killing Supply Depot guards in an explosion after she loots the place for her chosen outcasts in a refugee camp in Latvia. That's where Sam, Bucky, and Zemo head, but it turns out John Walker isn't the only one tracking them down, so are Wakanda's Dora Milaje. The Disney Plus snap splash screen is followed by a scene from the last episode. It is Flag Smasher Dovich, startled at the explosion and death Carly Morgenthau just caused at the GRC facility. He's out to help people and maybe fight the system, but he is shocked that Carly is taking life so trivially. This scene precedes the actual previously on, which starts right after Carly gives her line about it, you know, being the only language these people understand, and then we get the Marvel Studios title sequence. The episode starts off in Wakanda, and at first I thought this was present day, but the text 6 years ago comes up pretty quickly, and it's Bucky at a campfire, and Io is there with him. Bucky looks stressed out, and Io is reassuring, but this is a test of the work that Shuri has done on him to reverse the effects of the brainwashing that took place to make him the Winter Soldier. Io is not afraid at all, saying the words, and she's not afraid what would happen if Bucky snaps into the Winter Soldier again. It's a testament to the strength and fearlessness of the Dora Milaje. But they are a few miles out of town because this is still dangerous. He does succeed in resisting the trigger words, and Io pronounces him free. And what a terrific job by Sebastian Stan portraying that fear, relief, hopelessness, but ultimately that freedom, and all while shedding some really convincing tears. It's a really great scene. It then cuts back to where we left him and Ao at the end of last episode, and they're in the streets of Riga after Bucky's short walk. She wants to bring Zemo in now, because while T'Challa may have forgiven him for the death of his father at the end of Civil War, the Dora Milaje look at it as a failure. And they don't fail often, if ever. Bucky speaks Wakandan, asking Ao to trust that they're just using Zemo as a means to an end. He very clearly respects Io and appreciates what she and Shuri did for him. And she, I guess, senses that, giving the White Wolf 8 hours to use Zemo before they're going to come and get him. Now, why they didn't get to imprison him in the first place after Civil War, I don't know. But he wasn't in their prison. Then a title slate comes up for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and Bucky heads back to where Zemo and Sam went at the end of last episode. The three have a discussion that serves as a generalization of the entire episode, maybe even the series. Zemo equates the super soldiers with supremacists, saying anyone with the power gets corrupted. Bucky counters with Steve Rogers, and Zemo actually concedes that point.
Maybe you're wrong, Zemo. The serum never corrupted Steve.
Touché. But there has never been another Steve Rogers, has there?
There hasn't been another like Steve is really what this show is all about. Can Sam step into his shoes? I think more likely we're going to see that the validation comes because Sam will be his own man, his own version of Captain America, and then worthy in his own right. You know, remember, Thor's hammer can only be lifted by someone worthy, and Steve Rogers ended up proving himself to be worthy. It's not that way with the shield, though. Sam's idea is that Donya Madani is a pillar of the community, and they might gather to honor her like people did for his Titi.
Your Titi?
Yeah, my Titi, yeah.
Who is your Titi?
Fine, when I was a kid, my aunt passed away, and the entire neighborhood got together for a ceremony.
After Zemo finds some Turkish delights in his cupboard, he throws one to Sam, and then the scene shifts to the Flag Smashers gathering at a ruined building. They hear a news report about the GRC supply depot bombing. The GRC seemed to be using it to fast-track legislation called the Patch Act to help return things to normalcy. The Flag Smashers also seem to be rallying people to the cause despite their destruction. There's no lines of dialogue spoken by anyone around that whole campfire atmosphere except the news report on the phone. It's a really odd sequence, and I saw someone speculate that perhaps this was part of a cut scene from a different storyline, maybe involving a pandemic of sorts that's the result of people coming back from, you know, the blip. It's quite interesting, and it's probably the case because it's just an odd scene to just stick in there. Zemo and Bucky and Sam visit the camp where Donya Madani lived. They each have their own way of looking for clues. Sam and Bucky's much more direct. They go right up to people asking about Donya Madani. But Zemo goes to the children, and his is the one that works. He offers candy, the Turkish delights, which is, if you think about it, a really creepy move, giving kids candy to talk.
Baba, black sheep, have you any wool?
Yes, sir. It does work, though, and one of the girls tells him where the funeral will be and when. Zemo decides to keep the information for himself as leverage, but even if that's underhanded, it's kind of smart, since he's on borrowed time out of prison, and that information is kind of useful. Sam, Bucky, and Zemo head back to the safe house. Sam starts to express sympathy for the Flag Smasher cause. Bucky asks what makes her methods different from the people that they've fought in the past. Sam's only response is that she's not motivated by the same things. By that, I assume he means that she's not seeking power, but Sam hasn't had a discussion with her yet. So at this point, the person making the most sense is actually kind of Zemo. Sam is clouded by his optimism, and Bucky is at the other end of the spectrum, which means the Baron, at this point, is kind of the pragmatist. Zemo tells them the little girl told them the funeral is this afternoon and offers to lead them there, but he says he wants leverage, which does not sit well with Bucky. Sam reaches out to Sharon for help. He wants another set of eyes on the camp, and she's still in Madripoor. He wants to keep an eye on that camp, thinks that she can help from Madripoor. So she's got access to a satellite, I guess. I don't know how he knew that or what he thought he was going to get. Maybe there was a discussion that happened off scene that she told him what she could do. But what I want to know is, where is Sharon going in this scene? She's on foot, walking through a tunnel all by herself, past barricades, men with guns. They know her. She's clearly authorized to be there. So is she heading to see the power broker? She says the power broker went crazy when he heard Nagel was killed, and he wants the serum back that Carly stole. That seems odd that Sharon isn't being held responsible at all, unless she's blaming it all on them. You know, she calls Nagel the golden goose. Carly and one of the henchmen are in a graveyard now, and they stop at his grandfather's gravesite. I think it's Nico is the name of the Flag Smasher. We hear a little of the Flag Smasher ideology expressed through their talk about making more super soldiers and the man's grandfather fighting in World War II for the resistance fighters. Carly retrieves extra doses of the serum from that gravesite, and the man draws a comparison between the Steve Rogers version of Captain America and her. It's a flawed, distorted comparison because he says the world isn't all black and white and good and evil, and that people need someone to lead who looks like them, understands their pain, and doesn't have the luxury of keeping their hands clean. But Steve Rogers wasn't perfect. Well, he wasn't a perfect man, and not everybody that lived during that time was perfect either. And if you're looking for an idealized version, Steve Rogers was it. Carly is hardly idealized. He's saying the ends justify the means, which is not what Steve Rogers believed. Carly wants to destroy the shield and destroy the symbol because she says it leaves people out of the equation. But remember, that's kind of what Sam said too, is that maybe he should have destroyed the shield at the, almost the end of last episode. This is one of the places that I think the writer and Disney fail and just hope that people draw a comparison between modern events and what they're trying to sell here. I don't want to get into politics, but this is Disney politics, and they do want both Sam's ideals and Carly's to be right, except they keep attempting to make it seem like it's only the serum that separates her from right and wrong, and that no one in government could possibly help, so let's tear it all down. The issue isn't who is in power in government, but it's the people. The same people that Carly seems to think are being left out might actually be part of the problem sometimes, just like some of the people in government are part of the problem sometimes. We keep hearing how her camp was undersupplied, and that's why they went on raids, but maybe it was actually Mama Donya who told them they were special and deserved more. It certainly seems more likely that that was the case, considering the young people she looked after became revolutionaries. But maybe there was more in the plot lines that were cut because of COVID, and maybe it would have been more clear. But right now, this is what sticks out to me.
If you're doing something and it makes you scared, it's probably because it's the right thing.
John Walker and Lamar Hoskins make their appearance, and right off the bat, or almost right off the bat, Walker curses. Which, remember, Steve Rogers would not approve of.
Language!
Hoskins says something about two Avengers walking around Latvia and not being able to stay hidden, which is ironic, and it's supposed to be. He and Walker are dressed in battle uniforms, while Sam and Bucky are at least trying to blend in with, quote-unquote civilian clothing. They even pass people taking pictures and video of them. The scene sets up a little bit more of the dynamic differences between Walker and his best friend and the one between Sam and Bucky. Sam and Bucky are not Steve and Bucky, but John and Lamar certainly aren't either. Walker's Captain America is very absolute, but also authoritarian and sees himself and his methods above scrutiny. It's Hoskins' Battlestar that's talking sense into him. Meanwhile, it's clear that Bucky and Sam, while maybe not being best friends, aren't each other's sidekicks either. Sam wants to go invulnerable to match what he thinks Carly is experiencing. Now, he was a counselor when he was in D.C. and when he met Steve Rogers, so he knows a thing or two about talking to people that are experiencing loss. Carly might be able to be reasoned into giving up the violence. Now, this is a show, so we know she can't, but has something like that ever really worked? Carly already has the power to fight, and she's already exhibited the violence. So while personally I agree with a nonviolent solution, I think it was destined to fail. But maybe Sam's okay with failing on the front end if it justifies use of force on her later. She's already taken the step to kill and hurt people for her cause. Maybe Sam just wants confirmation that she thinks the cause is bigger than innocent lives before he does something. Walker, however, just wants to go in fighting. So, is this really how he operated when he was an actual soldier? And did that tactic work for John Walker when he was a soldier? I think his character would have been a lot more believable if instead of a brute dummy, he was showing a little tactical genius. Maybe if he was a little sneaky and then had success with his methods, like, yeah, you go in quiet, and then sprung a trap. Even if it wasn't honorable or always above board, maybe that would be a little bit more believable, but he comes in you know, guns blazing kind of a attitude, it doesn't come off to me as believable because of that. And maybe that's why he's one of the villains, and that is what he is here. He's kind of a villain of this show. Zemo talks again to the little girl who gave him the info before, and she leads them to a building, and when they get inside, Walker handcuffs Zemo to some of the machinery and tells Sam he's got 10 minutes, which is just the height of ridiculous. I mean, I know a lot of stuff has to be done shorthand because you only have so much time in a show, but two lines of dialogue where they set up that there can be a signal or some way of communicating between Sam and the group makes a lot more sense than just an arbitrary amount of time. I don't know when that has ever worked. 10 minutes. How can you even know if Sam has been able to make contact within that time frame, let alone have a discussion that's supposed to get deep enough to where Sam can convince her to give up violence in her quest? And what happens if it's 9 minutes and 58 seconds and it's so dumb. At any rate, that's what we get.
Aggressive. But I get it.
I promise I'll calm down. Donnie Madani's memorial service follows, and what we hear is what we suspected. She took in the orphan young around her, and as Carly eulogizes her, you know, she clothed, fed, loved them. Carly sees Sam looking down on the group from an upstairs room. But he doesn't seem to threaten them, so she decides not to alert the group, continues with her sermon where she reminds the others that it's always someone else's fault. You know, there's zero sympathy for those that return in Carly's mind. This is where Marvel Studios succeeds, because coming back from 5 years ago is not going to be simple. If it was 1 or 2 years even, we'd probably tell the Flag Smashers to get a grip, and they have no entitlement to anything. In this case, there's been a lot of time. People have built new lives in 5 years. It's even a frequent interview question, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? A lot can happen in that time. People moved around, left old lives to take up new ones. The people that return don't experience the passing of time. To think that there wouldn't be any PTSD from that side, though, ignores people like Monica Rambeau from WandaVision. So this happening that happens, you know, really does seem a little bit more believable because there are people who just don't care anymore. It's not a have and have nots, but it really creates a blipped and not blipped mentality, because where were they? You know, just like the director in WandaVision said, you have no idea what we went through, or, you know, what it took to make it through that time frame. At least there's more people like that out there in the world. Not everybody's going to believe that, but maybe they're the ones who are the most angry.
Do you really want his blood on your hands?
We get a short scene of Walker almost being pained at having to wait. You know, he's rubbing his eyes. He wants to apprehend Carly right now. It makes him seem a little crazy. And again, it's not really believable if we're supposed to believe he's an effective soldier that he's having this trouble, unless he's one of those people that really doesn't like the people that came back, which would put him on Carly's side. But it's supposed to show us his character. We then get back to Carly and Sam, and they start to talk. He expresses condolences to her, telling Carly he understands her frustration and her helplessness. She knows what he's trying to do, and she tries to reason that the ends justify the means. He points out that if she's killing people to make the world a better place, she's just killing different people than were being killed before. And that line seems to stump her, because she admits he's either brilliant or hopelessly optimistic, and he's probably hopelessly optimistic. Good thing she's not talking to Bucky then, I guess. Back to Walker, pacing the room where he, Hoskins, Zemo, and Bucky are waiting while Sam works his psychology. Walker is starting to lose it, though. He says he's going in, but Bucky stops him. Walker again calls Sam and Bucky partners and insinuates that things would be different if Bucky didn't have the serum, or maybe if he did. There's an imbalance of power, and we're supposed to understand that's what Walker can't stand. Meanwhile, Sam calls Carly a supremacist, and while she tries to defend herself, she ends up talking like a supremacist. She says a weird line about how the people she's fighting are trying to take his home, and either she knows about Sam and that bank discussion that we had in, I think, episode one, or she just hits close to home. And I think it's the latter, because that's when he reveals he's got a sister and actually agrees with her fight.
I just can't give it the way you're fighting it.
That's when Walker bursts in, ruining the rapport and setting off a chase. Bucky and Sam try to follow through the maze of buildings. They lose Carly, but we see Zemo. He took the opportunity to liberate himself, and he comes across her first and shoots her. She scrambles back, even though she's got super soldier serum. She's not a soldier. Presumably, this is the first time she's been shot, and it's a little bit shocking to her. And she loses the vials that were in the pouch around her waist. Zemo sees them, starts smashing them with his boot. Carly escapes. Before Zemo can count how many he's smashed, he gets knocked out cold by Cap's shield. Walker surveys the floor and spots an unsmashed vial, and he pockets it. He finally has access to what he considers true power, and then Sam and Bucky and Lamar find him.
What did we miss?
Carly's hurt, but recovering thanks to the effects of the serum. You know, it helps her heal quicker. But she's mad she didn't use all of the serum to make more soldiers when she had the chance. She tells one of the henchmen she feels like they were chosen to do what they're doing. That's a little bit more of a supremacist kind of mindset. Dovich tells her they have to deal with this threat, especially Sam. The power broker then contacts her via text. The text says, "You play revolutionary on borrowed time, little girl. I want the serum back, or I will find you and I will end you." Her fellow flag smashers are worried about fighting two groups at once. She says, "She'll hand to the power broker when the time comes. I think that means she'll give herself up for experimentation now that she knows the extra vials are gone, because she seems like the martyr type." She also says she knows how to deal with Sam without a fight, and that they will separate them and then kill Captain America. Back at the safe house, Zemo is recovering and asks Sam if he was ever offered the serum and would he have taken it if he was. Sam doesn't hesitate in saying no. That impresses Zemo, and I really feel like they're trying to set up that he actually ends up approving of Sam as Captain America, as weird as that sounds. He then becomes the Leia to Sam's Luke, saying Carly's Darth Vader has no good in her. He says super soldiers cannot be allowed to exist, and that she and her acolytes can't be allowed to become gods. Sam once again turned things around on the speaker like he did to Carly, saying, "That sounds like something a god would say.
Blood isn't always the solution."
Bucky comes in and says there's something off about Walker because he knows crazy when he sees it, because he is crazy. They get started on another "you shouldn't have given up the shield" argument. And then the shield walks in, Walker attached. He orders Zemo turned over to him, maybe to find out how the serum works that he has. Sam pushes back, telling him he doesn't have authority here, and Zemo actually has proven useful. I guess that it also implies that Walker hasn't. He then straight up threatens Sam and offers to fight him, Walker does. He actually puts down the shield to fight, and that's when a Dora Milaje fighter throws a vibranium spear into a tiled post right in front of his face. Io and another Dora Milaje guard come through the front door. They demand Zemo, telling Bucky time is up. Walker does not read the room and tries to sweet-talk Io. Sam senses what's coming and tells him to be careful because he might want to fight Bucky before he fights them. Walker says they don't have jurisdiction. Io says they have jurisdiction wherever they find themselves to be. But is that really what's going on? I mean, where's T'Challa? I mean, we know Chadwick Boseman has passed, but is the character of T'Challa also gone? Because would he be okay with them acting in this manner? Let me say, they're right, and it's cool how dangerous they are, but I'm just saying the Dora Milaje seem more like honor guards or honorable guards, I should say, than a secret paramilitary group with no accountability. I mean, I agree they have more of a say in what happens to Zemo than Walker does, but I just don't know if they would be having a discussion like this. Maybe it's just the heat of the moment. Walker, though, he makes the mistake of putting his hands on one of them, and I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed watching the beatdown, so they're doing a good job of making Walker the villain because I liked seeing him get beat up. For a while, so do Sam, Bucky, and Zemo. But when it seems like the Dora Milaje aren't going to let up, Bucky tries to intervene and slow Io's roll. They start to grapple, and then Sam steps in to stop the other two from severely hurting Lamar, and he gets smacked around. Zemo, though, takes the opportunity to lock himself in the back room, And it's the bathroom, actually. And Bucky tries to get Io to talk, and then she disarms him. Literally. She does some combination of moves on his arm, and it falls to the floor. Remember, this is Wakandan tech, and she played a big role in him overcoming his programming, so she might know how it works and know some of the secrets. Walker, meanwhile, is embarrassed that he lost his fight. And he says, not even to super soldiers. In the fighting, Zemo escaped not just to the bathroom, but through a sewer grate. So he's long gone.
I can't believe he pulled in your job.
I can.
We then cut to Lamar and Walker talking in a shopping area next, and they have a discussion about whether they would take the serum. We know, of course, that John Walker has some, and he's looking for justification to take it. Lamar Hoskins rightfully says power makes a person more of themselves, just like Erskine kind of argued to Steve Rogers, but he wrongly equates Walker's Medals of Honor, and as he puts it, decisions in battle, as making him worthy. This flaw of Hoskins to see the bad in his friend is his biggest failure, because John always looks for approval, and since someone else is his moral compass, he's always in danger of losing his way. Walker reveals to us that he and Hoskins did some questionable things in Afghanistan to be awarded the medals. And he also admits it was the worst day of his life. He views his title of Captain America as the first time he's doing something that feels right. And that's backwards, right? That's how Sam views it, is that that's a backwards way of thinking of things. Ultimately, that's how we, the viewers, know that Sam is worthy and John is not. This is also how we know that John is definitely going to use that serum he has.
God, imagine how many lives we could have saved that day if we had that serum.
I know.
Sam's sister Sarah is on her dock in Louisiana when she gets a call from Carly. We find out Carly knows where she is and about her kids. It's scary, and it's supposed to be. It's a veiled threat. Carly tells Sarah to contact Sam, tell him to come alone at a secret rendezvous. And she also took the opportunity to actually see what kind of person Sam was by talking to his sister. She kind of finds out that Sam is a little different than some of the other superheroes that she's run into. Just imagine what might have happened if Sarah had been like Walker and insulted her and her cause. Well, after the conversation, the scene shifts to Sam and Bucky, and they're walking in the street. Sam tells them, or Sarah and the kids, to run. Only pay cash. Get somewhere safe. Now, rather than go alone to this rendezvous, Bucky says, I'm going with you. They get to the rendezvous, and Carly tells Sam that she's not looking to hurt Sarah or him, but she calls him a tool in the regime she wants to destroy. She also notes that he didn't come alone, but also that he's not hiding behind a shield. Then she says if she killed him, it would be meaningless. Well, gee, thanks a lot. She finishes by saying, join her or do the world a favor and let her go. Meanwhile, Sharon finally contacts Sam from Madripoor, saying that either Walker found the hideout or maybe they found him. It's a little bit confusing because it's not clear what Sharon's doing here. Is she warning Sam that John is going to ruin the meeting? He's not coming in where they're at. Some of the flag smashers are near Carly. But maybe not all, so is he actually stalking the others? It's one of those things we aren't supposed to question. We see Walker and Hoskins infiltrate a building, and guess what? Walker is hiding behind a shield with his gun as he comes in. Hoskins, for some reason, though, goes upstairs first, and then he disappears. Walker goes looking for him, and we see that the flag smashers have him tied up. They attack and then retreat. Walker throws his shield and it embeds in the wall instead of bouncing off and back to him, and the flag smashers are gone. That's clue number one that something happened. Sam crashes in through a glass ceiling with his falcon wings just as a flag smasher gets knocked through a door down the stairs. Captain America either punched or kicked him there, and Dovich, one of the flag smashers that took the serum, grabs a pipe to attack him, but right in front of Sam, we get the second clue that something's off. Because Walker bends the pipe and continues his attack. Dovich runs past a shocked Sam. What did he just see? Well, Walker says they've got Hoskins and they go off to look for him. Walker has taken the serum. Bucky battles it out with one of the other Smashers and takes him out. Hoskins comes to on a tile floor, tries to cut himself out of his restraints with a knife. Meanwhile, Sam and Walker enter a room and the Smashers jump down from above and attack with knives.
What's with all the knives?
Bucky enters the fight and evens things up a bit, but Carly joins in and heads to attack Walker. Hoskins tackles her before she can get to him, but then he gets punched back into a pillar, and he's not got any serum in him, so the impact knocks him cold, and I think it kills him. Walker runs to his buddy's side. He's unresponsive. I mean, it looks like he's dead. Suddenly, the Flag Smashers realize, whoa, things got a little too real here, but honestly, what did they think was going to happen? It's not like they knew Battlestar was the virtuous one and that they had knives and were trying to harm not just Bucky and Sam as well. I mean, this is what gets them to start running? Well, Sam and Bucky run after Carly, and John Walker takes the shield, jumps out the window, lands on the bus below. The first Flag Smasher he sees is going to get it, and it just so happens it's Nico, the one who says he idolized Steve Rogers, Captain America, when he was younger. Well, Walker has the serum now, too. Nico cannot outrun Walker, who uses his shield to knock him down, and then, in a crowded square, Walker smashes him repeatedly with the shield, even though we know it wasn't him, Nico, who punched Hoskins. It was Carly. Nico cries out for mercy, saying it wasn't him. Walker is not Steve Rogers. He's got no mercy in him. People in the square record the deed on their cell phones. They're probably broadcasting live. The whole world is watching Captain America murder a Flag Smasher with his shield, without remorse, and the last shot we see is basically the shield half drenched in blood.
It wasn't me!
We're four episodes in, two-thirds done. That means two episodes left. I like this episode for the most part. I continue to like what Daniel Brühl does with Baron Zemo. I like that Bucky seems more comfortable in this world than he does in therapy because it fits who the character would be. But I also like that we did see him vulnerable at the beginning because I could really believe how you would say he felt more at peace in Wakanda after the scenes that he had with Io and the Dora Milaje. Sam, he is that hopeless optimist. And while he's his own man and different from Steve, I think that optimism helps make him more worthy to bear the shield than Walker. John Walker, ironically now, has the power he always thought he deserved, but he thought respect came with it. And that's going to ultimately be the downfall of a person believing respect comes through exercising and displaying power, where true respect comes when there's the absence of it. Think about it. Being ruthless doesn't work if someone sneaks behind your back or finds a way to make you powerless. Respect is, you know, when the king is vulnerable, but his people rise up to protect him. The Dora Milaje are like the Praetorian Guard of the Roman Empire. They take great pride in protecting their king. John Walker is no protector, though, of the American way. He's a brat and a bully who thinks everyone needs to bend to his will because I'm Captain America. He's going to get worse and worse as the serum works within him, and Zemo's words are starting to ring true. Carly murdered people with a bomb and now with a punch, and if they make her only now turn from her ways that she's done that, I think they're doing a disservice to the character, but I have this feeling that they're going to do that. I'd like to see the other Flag Smashers turn one by one or en masse before her next stunt, rather than Sam taking her down. I'd like to think that we're going to get some resolution for any loose threads that we have left, like the Power Broker and Sharon, Yuri and Leah and Bucky, Sam and the Sister and the Shield. Either a redemption or an escalation of things for Zemo. You know, I want to see these things wrap up. I was kind of hoping the Flag Smashers might capture him and force the serum on him, turning him into something he hates, but, you know, something he could end up using for his own goals, you know, just to see how he would react to that hypothetical that he might pose to Sam. Now, Sam is honorable to think he'd turn down the serum, but that serum saved Steve Rogers' life on many occasions, and let's be honest, that helped save the world. It's sweet of Sam to think of himself as unworthy, but Steve not only thought he was, he told him he was. And at what point does the deprecation of self start to cost innocent lives? Sam needs to step up here, right? Unless the title of Captain America retires completely, Sam's gotta take it up. At the very least, to do for the Shield what the GRC wants to do for the world.
Reset. Restore. Rebuild.
Well, what do you think? Email us at thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com or interact on Twitter at thewayphase4 or on Facebook at facebook.com/thewayphase4. Episode 5 is going to air April 16th, and the final episode is set to air April 23rd. This has been This is the Way Phase 4's discussion of Season 1, Episode 4 of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm Steve Lascalzo. Until next time, friends.